T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
News Radio 1120 KMOX. I heard you missed us, we're back. Yeah. This is Overtime.
Are you ready?
You guys ready?
It is Overtime. Chris Myhill at the controls. We have Cole, the Cole Train, behind the glass. Charlie Brennan is here. I'm Tom Ackerman. Braxton Payne's in the house, the Democratic strategist with Show Me Victories. Good morning, gentlemen. It's the All Guys Show today. Hello, everybody. We have a busy, beautiful, it is a beautiful day today. Beautiful day. Hope you enjoy. And let's start things off with some politics. Gentlemen, a meeting yesterday with Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi quickly devolved into acrimony, highlighting the gulf between Democrats and Trump over must-pass U.S. spending legislation while putting a possible compromise further out of reach. The president said he would shut down the government if his border wall wasn't funded. Charlie, from a political point of view, who wins if the government is shut down?
Oh, probably nobody. But in this case, President Trump said that he would take ownership of the government shutdown. So he made that statement in yesterday's meeting. And in fact, we're going to play most, if not all of it, next hour, because it is a moment like no other. But he did claim, you know, that, hey, it's going to be on him if the government shuts down. And I guess that means some people won't get services. We probably won't be able to go to the Gateway Arch. Doesn't mean, as far as I know, that anyone at the White House will not have to work. We've been through this many times. I don't think the president will win if it shuts down. Maybe. I don't see it. Braxton?
No, I mean, he said it. He said it was, he wasn't going to blame Chuck Schumer. So, or as he puts it, Chuck. I just thought it was like an episode of The Apprentice. I watched the whole thing live. I couldn't get enough of it. I watched the clips afterwards. I thought Nancy Pelosi definitely showed why she should be speaker. She showed some real leadership. I also find it personally bothering that he calls Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer Chuck and Nancy. I feel like the lack of decorum in the White House, especially in the Oval Office, is something that it's concerning to me, because it just feels like he has no respect. Even if we disagree, they still call him Mr. President each time they address him.
I watched tonight. That didn't really hit me. Maybe it should. I think he and Senator Schumer have gone back a long way. So it's possible that they are on a first name basis. And that does not bother me. I don't know what his relationship is with Congressman Pelosi. But I do say, and, you know, I've never been one of those who believes that we need a wall. I think that last summer was $22 billion. Now it's $5 billion the Republicans want. And the Democrats want to put up maybe $1 billion for border security. I think there's ways to achieve immigration better than building a wall. I think there's other uses for that money around here. And I also would say that the Republicans have had Congress for 2 years, both the House and the Senate, since the president took over the White House. So and if we were going to do this, we could have done this earlier.
Exactly. And he's also lying. He says we've already started building the wall. All that was 2017 improvements to the already existing fences. So he's just straight up lying. He says tremendous. I think he said, I was watching CNN last night, and he said tremendous while talking about the new wall about 7 times during that Oval Office meeting. And each time he's talking about a wall that's just, you know, being replaced or fixed.
Well, one thing he did say, and I'd like to learn more about this. He said that we've already caught 10 terrorists crossing the border, which I haven't heard about yet. I'd like to see the evidence about that. In yesterday's meeting, he said 10 terrorists have crossed the border. We captured them. I'm not sure. I haven't seen that yet.
You would think that he would be camped out right there on the border if that really were to happen with a press conference.
Winding down 2018, Time Magazine has awarded its Person of the Year to the Guardians. They're a group of journalists who have been jailed or lost their lives in the search of getting the true story. Slain Washington Post writer Jamal Khashoggi is on the four magazine covers. He's on one of them. The staff of the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, Maryland, also featured. Five members of their staff were killed in a newsroom shooting earlier this year, Braxton. Is this a good choice by Time Magazine?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Journalism is something that is in high regard for me personally. But if you don't have people investigating, you never will get the truth at all, period.
I have no disagreements with this. I just haven't had the time to think of who else would be deserving. But let me ask you this. How many people still subscribe to Time Magazine? I know it's a... magazines in the mail anymore?
I think Time Magazine, for me, was always something that the cover would catch your eye at the drugstore or the grocery store, and then you snag it off, or at the airport, and you grab it off the rack.
Kind of reminds me a little bit of U.S. News & World Report. They rank the colleges every year, but there is no U.S. News & World Report anymore. It's just it's a ranking agency now. Mm-hmm. They rank colleges and medical schools and, I don't know. I think my mother-in-law does get Time Magazine, but I don't know how many people still get it.
I've never had magazines.
We used to get it, tons of them here at KMOX every week, Newsweek and Tell Them and U.S. News.
No, we're seeing less and less of that. The U.S. Senate leadership team has passed the 2018 Farm Bill. It includes the Hemp Farming Act of 2018, removing industrial hemp from the Controlled Substances Act. This bill, Charlie, would also make the sale and distribution of hemp products in the U.S. legal and make the extraction and sale of CBD hemp oil accessible for farmers and consumers alike. Hemp industry is poised to become a $20 billion industry by 2022 if this farm bill passes. Do you have any problems with hemp farming?
And the hemp is for what purpose again?
The hemp,
lots of purposes. I mean, you can use it from shampoo. It can be medical purposes. I mean, there's a lot to be used.
So this would be distinguished from medical marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think it's controversial at all, is it?
No, I wouldn't think so. I'm surprised it hasn't happened sooner. The biggest hemp farms are in Kentucky. Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Senate. Huh. I'm honestly surprised. I know that there's a big hemp lobbying that has been lobbying him for many years. I think it's been often viewed as a gateway to marijuana when it's not. So I just think it's really interesting that it hasn't happened sooner.
We'll take a time out. We'll go from hemp to a question about alcohol. And also the story you might have heard about them shutting down a little chapel at Lambert Airport. That's on the way. KMOX News time is 8:39. Overtime with Charlie Brennan and Braxton Payne. I'm Tom Ackerman. It is nice today. Nice weather today. If you live in a colder or warmer region, a recent study reveals how much alcohol a person consumes could depend on which region they live in weather-wise. New research from the University of Pittsburgh found that those living in colder climates with less sunlight tend to drink more than people living in warmer parts of the world. Are you surprised by that?
No. I mean, you hear about the drunkenness in places like Alaska and Moscow, and you don't hear it all that much about the Caribbean. I mean, it's possible, I suppose. No, I don't think there's any doubt. When the days are short, and I think the sun is coming up now. Well, it's going down at about 4:38, something like that. And what time's it come up? 7 or so?
Before I'm awake.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty short day, And although last night I did go to Urban Chestnut, big Father's Day, or not Father, Father's Club gathering, and I had things to do last night, so I just drank water. It's like a mortal sin,
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely true. I think the University of Pittsburgh's in my house and doing some studies, because I definitely was talking about this a couple days ago, and it's totally true. I try to get out during the winter as much as possible, and I find there's not as much to do in the winter.
Yeah. I find your energy just goes down when the sun goes down.
100%.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. A little chapel where travelers can stop to read scripture, pray, or attend a worship service is being shut down at Lambert to make way for a food shop. It's the Interfaith Chapel in Southwest Airlines Terminal. The airport released a revised statement saying it will try to find a new space for the chapel in the next couple of months. Did you know there was a chapel at Lambert, Braxton?
I did. I've never visited. I think there was a news story that said about 50 people a week visit. So I'm not surprised they're shutting it down. I think Being in Terminal 2 a lot, there is not enough options for food and beverage. I do think they're going to find another spot. It's a decent sized airport. I think they're going to be able to do it.
Ooh, I think that airport has room for a chapel. There's a lot. There's that's one thing they've
but
got.
But I believe it's at the very end of the terminal, like by like E33, and there really is no food options down there. It's all at the beginning of the terminal, that Chili's and that, you know, the Shafley, and that's pretty much it. If you're at the other end, there's not much options without
then, honestly,
a
when you said
50
people a week, I was surprised. Yeah. You know, I think they should accommodate the religious or the spiritual needs of 50 people if there are 50. I thought it'd be fewer than that, frankly.
What about video game parlors? So airports are starting to open these up. Instead of sitting at the bar and watching sports and killing time that way, but you'd be able to play video games. Do you like the idea of that at airports?
I've seen that in in airports. And, well, what's the point? To raise money for the airport? Is that the idea? Or is it to provide recreation for those who, I don't know, like don't want to read or something? Not a big fan. You know, I think since we started the lottery and casino gaming in our area, I don't think it's been a big enhancement in any way. I really don't. I'm not a fan of betting. I think it's trying to get something for nothing. And basically, I'm old school. I think that if you want to get ahead, work hard, work a little overtime, don't try and, get the kids milk money by rolling the dice.
I've never owned a video game system, an Xbox, PS2, so it's not something that appeals to me. As long as it doesn't cut back from my people watching in the airport, I really don't care what they do.
You ever been to the Vegas airport?
It in plain view where I can watch them gamble, and it's quite entertaining.
California, here's another California law. Considering passing a law that would require certain businesses to have at least one vegan protein option on the menu, requiring it. If the law passes, movie theaters, sports stadiums, the LA Zoo, LAX, you name it, would have to ensure that vegans are just as well fed as carnivores. Braxton, do you like that?
No, I'll be honest. I think the market should dictate, and I know I sound like a Republican right now, but I think the market should dictate what the food options are. If there's enough demand for vegan options, I think there will be.
Yeah, especially if you're going to the airport. I mean, you can pack your food. There's no one stopping you there. No. At Busch Stadium, for example, you can bring your own food. Some of my friends who practice kosher dietary habits, you know, they bring their own. And there are a lot of restaurants in St. Louis that offer vegan options. Yeah. So I don't know why you'd have to mandate it, because what's the place on North and South? Is it called Frida's or something like that? It's very popular.
I've been there. It's great.
I've never been there. Is it good?
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And you see, like, for example, like Busch Stadium, they have a kosher stand. So obviously there was a demand for that. I've been to the United Center in Chicago. They do have an entire vegan concession stand.
Do they really?
So, and I just think that, or a vegan, vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something that if people want it and they'll buy it, I think it'll come.
Don't eat that raw cookie dough, though, says the Centers for Disease Control. They are warning that cookie dough, although the warnings have been around for years, they've updated their advisory for the holiday season. They say it can make you sick. Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of sneaking some spoonfuls of that cookie dough, Charlie?
No, but man, we've been hearing these warnings for a long time. Are people really still getting sick from that?
I don't know. I mean, I've never gotten sick from it. I know that there's that kind made by a St. Louis woman. I think she's now in New York. It is cookie dough, but it doesn't have like the egg, and so it's not like it doesn't give you diseases. Uh-huh. But the line and to get it is absolutely ridiculous.
Time to fire up the kitchen at the Dome at America's Center. More details are being revealed about this deal with the XFL and the Convention and Visitors Bureau. The city's going to receive $100,000 from the XFL for 5 home games played at the Dome. The league receives 100% of the ticket sales. The city receives all revenue from concession and catering sales. Braxton, do you like that deal?
Seems like a pretty good deal. My parents used to own an ice racing business, and we would travel throughout the country, and we would rent out arenas. Also, the arenas would buy us, and we would get a percentage of the concessions. And I know that the merchandise is usually the biggest driver of revenue. Ticket sales usually aren't, because usually they give them away often. So I think that's pretty good. If we can get concessions and catering, I would say that's a good deal.
One thing that I don't understand, when the Rams left, local convention officials claimed that there was a silver lining to that dark cloud, because it would open up that facility for conventions, which heretofore we weren't able to bid on some of them because the Rams and their schedule were preempting the possibility of conventions. So after the Rams left, why are we now going back to the football model.
My only thought on that is it's 5 versus 8, and I don't know what their schedule is going to look like. Because the NFL is a lot harder to do with that many teams, and with only 6 or 7 teams in the XFL, it might be easier for them to have a predetermined schedule farther out. I mean, I'm just speculating. I don't know this for sure, but that's the only reason I would think it might be a little different.
Yeah, we're like adding football teams left and right here. We got one at the Dome. You got the Freedom Football. Arena Football is being rolled out. All this stuff is going on. Football like crazy.
Arena Football's coming?
That's what we're hearing.
Mm.
So
we'll see. Kurt Warner started in Arena Football, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
KMOX News Time is 8:50. Overtime continues after this. KMOX News Time is 8:52. This is Overtime. I'm Tom Ackerman. Charlie Brennan and Braxton Payne in this edition. And Charlie is coming up after the 9 o'clock news. We'll hear what he has in store in just a few minutes. Facebook's headaches continued last week. UK lawmakers this time releasing documents showing that the social media giant was offered special access to user data to preferred advertisers. Some of those companies include Lyft, Netflix, and Airbnb, who reportedly were allowed to access users' friend lists and other data. Charlie, will these disclosures cost Facebook customers?
You know, I don't know. I'm not a Facebook guy. I bet most of our listeners are, so I'm a little bit out of it. I'm in social media, more into Twitter. I just assume, folks, every time you go online and you engage in something like that, that there are a lot of people who are able to get your information. I do not assume any privacy. So, and I anticipate that most of our listeners don't anticipate much privacy either if they're online.
Yeah, so social media is kind of my job. So I would tell you that people are leaving Facebook, but they're not really going anywhere. A lot of them are going to Instagram, and Instagram's the largest growing platform social media-wise, and it's owned by Facebook. So it's not going to hurt Facebook at all. They may be leaving Facebook for their interface or for privacy reasons, but they're just going to another company that's owned by Facebook.
Do people care, Braxton, are people concerned about this? I know it makes media stories, we read about it a lot, but...
Well, I think people are ignorant to what information is available to advertisers or available online. I can tell a lot about a person when I buy ads based on the information that's just available. It's available for purchase. I always say, unless you really want to be off the radar, you need a pay-as-you-go phone and pay-as-cash and don't use credit cards.
I've noticed many more advertisements hitting me on Instagram.
Oh yeah, and it went up. It's about 36% of Americans use Instagram now. It surpassed Twitter by about 12%, and Twitter's actually going down. Instagram is going to be, I think it's going to be above 45, almost above 50% by the end of this year.
So next year. What's the allure of Instagram?
I think it's less, like you said, there's more ads on Facebook. There's less on Instagram. I think advertisers are realizing that now. So there's much more ads on Instagram. It's more of a picture platform. So there's less text. So I think it's more appeasing to a generation where we read headlines and we like to just scroll through very quickly and see the highlights.
Yeah, I would describe Instagram as like a window into somebody's life.
Exactly. Yeah, right. It definitely is, and it shows the best self of somebody's life. So it's a much happier place than, you know, Facebook, when you share a bunch of maybe political articles or sad articles. Facebook, I think, is much more of a positive universe, and I think a lot of people are looking for that in their social media content today.
Well, it's real nice, unless you're the outsider not having all the fun of the other people on Instagram.
One of the things that I've read is Facebook and Twitter, it's somebody said to me the other day, is where people go to vent, and it's like where everyone, or not, where Facebook and Instagram is where everyone's so happy. And then you go to Twitter and you realize how miserable everyone else's lives really are.
Yeah, I see that. I agree.
Twitter has been a great tool for us to connect with our listeners, though. I can tell you that.
Oh, I love Twitter.
I've really, really enjoyed that.
I haven't had that. I know you have a huge following, Tom, on Twitter. I don't really. And I'll tell you what, if I say something on 50,000 red hot watts, I can get a reaction. Mm. People will respond. But Twitter, not so much. I in terms of like calls to action, asking people to do things. Not so much when it comes to Twitter.
While the push to legalize marijuana in the United States continues, a potential downside of that legalization is being seen by transportation officials. Braxton, a pair of studies revealing that Auto accidents are on the rise when it comes to those using recreational marijuana. Highway crashes, in fact, in four of the states where it was legalized have gone up by 6%. Does that surprise you?
No, not really. I mean, maybe a little bit. I feel like if you were to smoke, you'd be a little bit more focused while driving. But there's also a lot of different strands out there that provide a lot of different reactions to many different people. Just like I think if you drink different kinds of alcohol, it provides different reactions to different people. So I'm a little surprised, but I mean, 6%, it also could be a lot of different reasons.
Do we have a test yet to determine if a driver has been smoking?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
Blood test? I mean, on the spot, really? I mean,
what do you have coming up? What is on tap, Charlie Brennan?
Well, because people have been getting snippets, we're going to play the entire Schumer-Pelosi-Trump exchange from yesterday, and then we'll ask our listeners to jump in and provide their analysis.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.